You're listening to Sci-Fi for Chicks on Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
It is dead minus five minutes before tonight's episode of Fear the Walking Dead, Season 1, Episode 5, Cobalt, which Jennifer, who could not be with us tonight, aww, we miss you, Jen, she, I think, accurately surmised that that's probably going to be military, like a code name or something.
I think that's very legit.
I think that sounds very plausible. So we're getting ready for that, but we're kind of looking back. One thing that we haven't mentioned at all during is the fact that there's going to be this one-off special or webisode or something that's basically The Walking Dead on a plane. It's like Snakes on a Plane, but yeah, we have a zombie. What do you think about this?
I think that'd be very interesting because I'm sure, you know, maybe the plane was carrying, I don't know. I'm curious on how the zombie got on there. If it was someone who died on the plane, maybe they were ill and they just turned. That's probably what it is, because it couldn't be them carrying a casket, let's say.
Yeah. No, it might be something like somebody died when they're like, is there a doctor on the plane? Which my mom, who's a nurse, she's like, whenever there's a medical emergency, she always waits. Is there a doctor? Okay, a doctor. I don't need to go now. I'm on vacation. Let the doctor handle it. I don't want to get into all this kind of stuff at all. I think it'll be interesting. And they say that there will be a survivor that will join the cast of Fear the Walking Dead next season. So that should be interesting, especially since they focused on it so heavily. Yeah. In that one episode with the plane and the wings.
And you saw it doing its thing, so you wondered.
It's a reason to look to the sky. Another reason to look to the sky is I hope that you went out right after Fear the Walking Dead to see the supermoon lunar eclipse thing that is not going to happen again until 2033. So, yeah, I hope you didn't miss it. And if you did, go online, because there'll be video and pictures and things, and you can fake it. We are going to get ready now for Fear the Walking Dead, the penultimate episode of the season. We'll try and hold our own without Jen here to help us through, but we will see you on the other side.
There are plenty of places to get your genre news. We get that, which is why we go visit those places for you. And then we bring it all back here so it's all in one handy little place. Sci-Fi for Me is your one-stop shop for everything genre. Comic books, video games, TV, movies, the latest best-selling novels. Join us as we delve into the many story universes over a nice cup of coffee. We've got everything you need, all in one place. Sci-FiForMe.com, your portal to the science fiction multiverse.
Previously on Fear the Walking Dead.
If it happens, it will happen quickly.
You guys are the lucky ones!
They're stockpiling for the big push to take the city back.
Someone's out there. Someone who needs our help.
We don't know that.
Tell me what you saw.
The infected.
Take it easy, man. It's a kid. It's an old man and a kid.
No! Rick! No!
Morning, Los Angeles. Hope you got your flu shot. Reports in 5 states that a strange virus is going around. So if you're not feeling well, go home. Take care of yourself.
This is how we bring them home.
Welcome back to Sci-Fi for Chicks, our boob tube version, as we look at the latest episodes of some of our favorite TV shows. Tonight, Doreen and I will be talking about Fear the Walking Dead, Season 1, Episode 5, Cobalt. I kind of already did a spoiler there. Hi, my name is Heather, and I'm joined by Doreen. Hey, Dee.
Hello.
We are missing Jennifer, and we're missing Jennifer. She isn't with us this week.
She couldn't be with us tonight.
We're going to get her back here for the finale, though, so never fear. So we are in the penultimate episode of Fear the Walking Dead. We had a supermoon eclipse tonight, which was rather anticlimactic, because it didn't really seem to eclipse much at all.
It was still cool, though.
Okay, it was still cool. Especially since we won't have another one for 18 years, which at least is longer than we're going to have to wait for Season 2 of Fear the Walking Dead.
This is true.
This episode really stepped things up.
Oh, yeah.
We're rewatching it right now, and we're at the scene where Daniel Salazar is with Sergeant Boytoy, trying to get some information from him. I bet this soldier now is kind of wishing he hadn't met Ophelia in line.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure he is.
It was pretty brutal, because here he is pulling out that straight razor. And on the story sink, there was like something when another soldier had been bitten, and they were asking what the bloodbath one was. And we're both scoring it kind of low. We see this with Daniel getting ready to cut him up. We scored it so high, like only 5% of the people agreed with us. I'm like, this is making me cringe.
Yeah.
Cringe. So what were some standout things for you in this episode?
Well, obviously, Mr. Smooth, Mr. Strand. Want to know what his story is, if he's somebody we are rooting for, which so far I like him.
He is fabulous, and what a great cold open on the episode, just suddenly in there with Mr. Doug and playing him.
Yeah. I didn't, you know, I kind of felt bad for Doug and how he was talking to Doug, but as he went on, because as soon as Doug left, he just continued his spiel with the next person. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't anything, like, I don't say personal, but I like him, but, you know, there is a part of me that's like, is he good? Is he bad? Should we trust him? Is he going to be an integral part of this, you know, story?
I think he's going to definitely be a big part of this. I mean, I've mentioned it before, one of the kind of tells is if you go over to IMDb, it'll say how many episodes people are in. He was listed as being in 6 episodes, and he obviously has not been in the previous 4.
Yeah.
So we know he's carrying on into season two.
Yeah.
And I'm ecstatic about this because I don't even know how to describe it. It was just like so deliciously, he's not evil. He's not good. What is he?
I don't know. A realist?
He's a player. He's knowing how to work the system. Mm-hmm. Something fierce. And if you had gotten him and say like the governor and some people like that together, if they've been on the same coast, but I think he might actually be, whereas the governor, all of you keep telling me that the governor was a bad guy.
He was bad, Heather.
I saw him first as Jackson Lake. I like him. One of the questions in the story sync was, you know, like, you know, you should, one to follow or watch your back. And we both kind of almost went to watch your back and they went, nope, he's the guy to follow. I think stick with him.
Yeah. I want to see what he has in store with Nick.
Oh yeah.
Cause he saved his ass and you have to wonder why. But I mean, he did say he has a plan and Nick's going to help with that, but I still want to see it. You know,
He's got these great, and they're not even one-liners. He just has some really great dialogue, like when Nick's saying, well, I'm an addict. It's like, no, you're a heroin addict. Don't sell yourself short. He has the perfect line for every occasion.
He does.
And I want to know what his plan is here. Because he got rid of Mr. Doug.
I wonder if he's a motivational speaker. That's his career, you know.
Could be. It could be. Right now we're watching the scene where they took Mayor Travis to go shoot Kimberly, the donut
waitress
gal. And he's looking, not only looking in her eye, but sees her name.
He failed.
Big fail. He just doesn't get it yet. And I'm hoping with what we saw at the end of the episode, when he actually finds out some of that information, he just seems to be like a record that's stuck on, like he's skipping. Okay, for those of you that don't remember records, they were these big round things that if they got a scratch in them, would just keep repeating themselves. That's what it seems like he's doing. Like he makes progress, and then suddenly he seems to be right back where he was before.
He'll get there, though. It's just taking him longer.
You think?
Well, I mean, when he finds out from Soldier Boy Toy, all the information that he has and that the government wants to, like, now kill everybody. That wouldn't sit well, I would think.
I would hope not. Especially since he was holding on to that, oh, you were a teacher? I still am. You know, he was, he got indignant over that, which I thought was kind of interesting. We a little shout out here to our missing comrade, Jennifer, who did call it right that Cobalt was some sort of military action, and I think that's interesting. Now, here's one where I was glad that we had that 9 days in the last episode that something happened. Now I'm kind of like, we need longer than that, because I would think an entire action that they've done now where they've set up these safe zones, but now Project Cobalt or Cobalt or whatever, you know, Cobalt mission is all about extracting not everybody, but the military and the people the military deems necessary. That seems like it would take a lot more time than a couple weeks for them to come up with this, unless they knew something ahead of time. You think? Could this be, this whole zombie thing, be something that somebody had an inkling of before and came up with Cobalt? Or did they just come up with Cobalt on the fly?
Yeah. I don't know. That's a good question. Could be. I don't know if we'll really ever know.
Probably not.
But it's definitely a possibility.
So they're going to extract everybody. And we learn this because of Daniel.
Yes.
Being rather vicious, but...
Oh, gosh. But he got his answers.
Was it necessary?
He seems to think so.
Do you think so?
Well, I don't know if the soldier would have said what he... You know what I mean? I don't know. Because at one point, he still was kind of saying... Well, when he just did the first level, he was saying, I'll tell you anything you want to know. Just whatever, I'll tell you everything. But he kept going. So I think he could have stopped.
Do you think maybe it's kind of that scene, which I really did love, when Madison walks in on Daniel, you know, kind of clean up, when he walks in with the... Mm-hmm. As one of the people on Twitter said, that is not gazpacho. Mm. And that was, And she starts talking to him, and he breaks down and is crying, remembering what he went through and the stories that were told about what happened. And then you kind of get the idea of what really happened.
Yeah.
Him breaking down, because he's got such a cold exterior. Mm-hmm. But you see, he really doesn't. He's just really been hardened by it.
Yeah.
I'm thinking he thought he had to keep going because, I mean, one of the questions, or was it you? I can't remember. It's like, just tell him something. Just lie. Just tell him.
Well, that's what I said. My tweet was, you better start talking, or at least say something. Don't say you don't know, because he's going to keep going.
Yeah.
But that would mean lying, you know, if... Telling him what you think he wants to hear or whatever.
I didn't believe that he didn't know. Because, not that everybody in the military knows everything, but he's been on the outside of these gates. And they're not supposed to go on the outside of these gates. And so he's at least seen something. There's stuff that we're not being told at all. And everybody's starting to learn that. Like, Liza is starting to learn it. We're in the scene right now where she's trying to help Dr. Exner. And they have a soldier who has been bitten, I guess. Yeah. And they're trying to save him. So she's seeing these little bits and pieces. And everybody else seems fine with it. I'm still on the fence about Dr. Exner. Because Sandrine Holt always plays these characters that, even if they're going down the wrong path, actually has a heart of gold. Is going to eventually turn around. Is she? I mean, because she seems to know what's going on. She's fine. Like, that whole end scene or earlier scene when she's talking with Liza about, I said I'd get you and your son out. Well, my son needs his father. It's like, well, and the father leads to the girlfriend, which leads to her kids, which leads to... Is she being practical, or is she being cold, the doctor?
Considering that they have limits to who all they can take with them, she's probably being practical in her eyes.
Right.
Because it's like, oh, you know, first it's your son, and then now it's his son, his father, and now it's just like, and then so-and-so is going to want to do it, and then so-and-so is going to want to do it. I mean, you have to draw the line somewhere in their eyes. You have to draw the line somewhere, or else it gets too, you know, because I think the whole Cobalt mission or Cobalt plan is whoever the military deems necessary, like you said. Right. It's like, and it just can't be everybody, because everybody's important to everybody. So how do you limit it?
Right. Is this going to be us also heading out of LA? Because she was talking about Edwards Air Force Base, which is about hour and a half, 2 hours-ish north of LA, out in the Mojave Desert. Ugh. Sorry, I used to live out there. Not in Mojave. But they're going to be heading out there. Are we going to be leaving LA and maybe season two be in this?
I think we'll go back and forth, because I bet you, you know, they're going to take that bunch and go to the Edwards Air Force Base. And some of these people who are in the towns are going to survive. They're either going to hide, or, you know, the military just gets out and doesn't do a total clean sweep or something. But these people are going to go somewhere or hide somewhere. I don't know. Maybe they don't stay in LA. Maybe they move on. But I don't know. That's hard to say.
It'd be interesting because when we were watching the end of last week's episode before this episode started, and we saw the scene where Madison is flashing her flashlight to where the light was that Chris had talked about, and you had said, oh, you hadn't noticed before that a light was flashing back, that somebody was signaling her back.
Yeah, yeah.
LA is a huge place, mm-hmm. and it's not set up, like, if you go to someplace like Lubbock, it is set up total grid.
Yeah.
Everything's, like, at right angles, and buildings are there. LA is just things stuck wherever things can be stuck. There's going to be people hiding.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure.
And a lot of good places for people to keep hiding.
So they might continue, they might go back and forth, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Especially if some of our characters are still here in L.A. And then if Liza and... I don't know how they're going to come get Chris. Well, I guess the military just plucks him.
Yeah.
But it's possible maybe Travis fights to keep him. You know, kind of thing. Like, what's going on? You already took my ex-wife and Daniel's wife and they didn't come back. Now you want to take my son? Uh-uh. Yeah. You know, kind of thing. So, who knows?
Well, that would be an interesting... plan for him, a point for him too, because they've taken your ex-wife. If they take Chris now too, mm-hmm. do you go with Blood or do you stay with the Bond? Mm-hmm. You know, you have Madison and her child, which can you rationalize and say my ex and your son are over there. Mm-hmm. So I have to go. So it's like everybody bit by bit goes or, you know, what would Travis do? If they came and took Chris, would he go? Or would he stay?
I think he would go with... I don't know. I think it also depends what they tell him. You know, because obviously they know what's going to happen because the soldier talked. Now, if they didn't know, they could easily, like, be like, well, if Chris goes, you know, you can go with him. Kind of like they promised Daniel could go with his wife kind of right. thing. And that's how they could get him to go. But now that they know what the plan is...
Yeah.
That... you know, they're going to fight. It's not going to be an easy, just let Chris go, or Chris and Travis go.
Well, and we had that scene with Chris and Travis, too, where Chris is, he's getting all upset about this, and he goes, fine, just go be with your family. So we had our teen angst in the apocalypse there.
Yeah, we did have our teen angst.
So that's going to be pulling Travis. I mean, at least I'm seeing Travis now really being pulled in a lot of different ways, so mm-hmm. that maybe he can man up at some point here. Please. Please, because Madison's pulling him out, Chris and Liza and the military, and he really is getting pulled every which way. So maybe finally?
Maybe.
Which way would he go? Would he go and rationalize that I'm also going to find your son kind of a thing? Or
he might. I mean,
but then that also leaves Madison alone with Alicia and Ophelia and Daniel Salazar.
Yeah.
It's a tough one.
Yeah.
How did you like the scene, which we just saw, with Chris and Alicia, kind of buddy-buddy bonding up on their bike and going and breaking into the house, which they made it seem like it was a big fancy-schmancy house. You're in East L.A. This isn't like some Beverly Hills mansion. I mean, not saying it can't be a really nice house, but we're not talking a great big mansion thing here. But they're rampaging through and playing dress-up, and then they start just... smashing everything to bits.
Mm-hmm.
What was that about?
I think it was a release, you know. I mean, I don't promote vandalism by any means, but, you know, the whole breaking, you know, going into someone else's house and playing around with things, I think that's normal. I think most of us would probably do that. I mean, there's no one there to catch them. They're not going to get in trouble. It's kind of fun idea. And that they are still kids. It's kind of a release with all this craziness going on in their lives.
Do you think it's them also trying to rationalize what is going on? I mean, it's not something that you can totally understand, that the dead are walking out there.
Yeah.
Well, if you know what the dead are already walking in there, too. Maybe it's just them not totally connecting with everything?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, they're just like, well, we're stuck here. Let's have some fun and play around. And
kind of like how Nick
was. Get in trouble. And
kind of like how Nick was in the pool last week. Yeah. Where it's just like, yeah, whatever.
You know, might as well. I've got nothing else to do. You know. It's kind of like, There's a 80s comedy that I like called Night of the Comet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first thing they do when they realize, you know, they're all, the two girls, the sisters, are all alone, and they're like, what did they do? Let's go to the mall.
Yeah.
You know? And they had fun in the mall trying clothes on, because that's just what teenage kids do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh, now we're at the scene where
Ophelia finds out what her father was doing.
And, yeah, Madison is just run back in. I love this line that he gives her when Madison leaves. You know, it's like, I did tweet it out exactly right, but, you know, do you want me to stop or do you want to know?
Yeah.
It's like, do you really want to save him or do you really want to know what's going on,
yeah,
where your son is? And it's that Jennifer talked about how Madison is making those choices and she's moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of those moments where she had to make this choice of, here she is, this high school guidance counselor,
mm-hmm,
who would do whatever she can to protect a child. Not that Sergeant Boytoy is a child, but,
yeah,
you know, she's looking at this another human being. I would never do this to this other human being.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's that part of her that realizes it's this totally different world.
Mm-hmm.
And my son is
out there somewhere.
Is out there, and he's going to withdraw. And this, yes, guy has answers, exactly.
Yeah.
And I think what I love most about Daniel is he sees through people.
Mm-hmm.
He sees through the situation. He cuts through the BS.
Mm-hmm.
And just is like, what's your end goal really in this? What do you, yeah, really want? We're not going back to the way things were. So what do you really want?
Yeah. Now Daniel knows how to play the game. He's been in it. He's been in it himself, and he just knows, and she's learning that you can't, you know, I want to know where my son is. This soldier's a stranger to me. No, I don't want him to see it. I don't want him to be hurt. I'm not endorsing this. However, you know, I also need to know where my son is.
Yeah. Yeah, because you're definitely in a time now where it's, sorry, you can't have shades of everything.
Yeah.
You can't have a little bit. You really have to decide, do you want this or that? And that's it. And Daniel gets that, and he's gotten that from the beginning. And I think that's why he's resonating a lot with a lot of us, because he's the one that I think would most, you could pluck him out of this one and put him in The Walking Dead, where, oh, yeah, it is now, and he would still be.
Yeah.
He could still survive quite nicely.
Oh, yeah.
I think.
Rick Grimes could use a Daniel on his team.
Yeah, it would have been nice. That'd be an interesting one to have in there. What is Daniel going to do, though, when he finds out about Griselda? Because he's now, he knows where she is,
yeah,
supposedly, and he's going there. Which, by the way, where is, well, we'll get to that in a second.
I don't know, is he really going there? I mean, he went to the arena to check out the soldier's story, but I don't know if he's actually going to go to the, where the hospital setup is.
Yeah.
I mean, he could be, but.
Yeah. Well, that could be a case of the soldier does know some things, but not everything.
Yeah.
Or maybe that, it looked like I was a high school, because I think it said the Warriors or something on one of the things. Unless that's supposed to be,
yeah,
unless that's supposed to be like the arena team, and they're just not, like, they don't want to use, mm-hmm, the Clippers or the Kings or, you know, whoever. Maybe, yeah, that's what that is. But he could just be going to the wrong door, but he's thinking he's going now to go get Griselda.
Mm-hmm.
And we already know that Griselda is, well, again, you and Jennifer called it.
Yeah. Our main character casualty.
Yeah.
It depends if he runs into Liza. Because I would think he would believe Liza if Liza were to tell him, we did everything we could. This is what we had to do. We had to amputate her leg, and then she went into septic shock, and, you know, she died. You know, as opposed to if he just sees her dead, or he runs into the doctor who says, oh, you know, see him not believing the doctor, even though the doctor would probably have the same story. But if Liza's there and he can talk to Liza, I mean, either way, he's going to be upset, you know, obviously. But,
Well, and he's come up to the, if they are all in the same basic area, he's come up to the backside,
mm-hmm,
and going up to that door that instantly I thought of that hospital. In season 1, episode 1 of Walking Dead,
mm-hmm,
where you have the door that says, do not open, dead inside.
Mm-hmm.
Where are those signs? Because this is, mm-hmm, an arena. This isn't even like a room or a ward or something at a hospital. This is an arena. So if they're the doors are busting like that, there's a lot of people. Well, there's a lot of infected in there. And I would be scared that they would bust out. And
well, maybe they're just, since they chained them and locked them up, that they didn't feel they needed to write a note. I mean, obviously, walking up there, it was quiet. And then they, when they sensed he was there, the sounds that were coming out of there, I don't think a normal human being would open those doors anyway, but, because at the hospital, wasn't it, I mean, was it chained or was it just a makeshift lock or did they just put something up against it? I mean, it wasn't.
They had blocked through the door and chained.
Oh, okay. It was chained. Yeah. I don't know. Well, maybe the people at the hospital just.
Maybe they, well, everybody's in safe zones, so it doesn't matter.
Either that or the fact that it's a hospital, somebody might be going there thinking they can find something, supplies or whatnot. So it's, I could see somebody opening those doors more likely than the arena when you have all three double doors that are locked going, expanding in and out. That's freaky.
That's exactly what I was going to say. That was just freaky because I'm looking at it. It reminded me of the Great Western Forum arena. And when you go inside an arena and think how big that is.
Oh, yeah.
And how many people fit in that.
Fit into it.
And what they would do. And then when you have these creatures that are just crawling all over each other, bumping into each other and crawling over each other to try and get to it, that's got to be. And if the hospital or anybody is out there walking around past, I'm sure they all can smell them.
Yeah.
So that's got to heighten it even more. I don't know. Has Daniel seen a walker yet? I can't remember. I mean, other than, in the corner of his eye during the riot kind of thing, but he was more worried about Ophelia and Griselda.
I don't know. I kind of want to say no.
Because I'm wondering if he's going to actually see one. You know, Travis has finally actually seen one with Kimberly.
Well, but he knew about the neighbor woman, because they were at his house.
Oh, he saw, that's right, the guy that he killed.
Unless he didn't actually see Susan because they were in the bedroom. He was pretty well, much no, in the
and
back
the guy
bedroom.
He killed and the dog. The episode that we tried to block
true.
Out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he has. Never mind seen that. One.
Yeah.
So easy to forget who's seen what.
Well, we were trying to block out that episode because it was the doggy.
It was the dog that. Yes, we were not.
We
happy
don't
about
like
that
part. I'm worried about him when he finds out about Griselda. I really am.
Yeah. We'll see what he does. I mean, he's. I don't know. I was going to say, there's a part of him that might think, well, she's better off because in this, the way things are going, you know, especially if she had a broken leg. I mean, it wasn't fixable. You know what I mean? Yeah. It wasn't going to be good anyway. So.
What did you think of Griselda's death scene? I mean, that was pretty intense.
Yes, it was. And I think what she was babbling on about had to coincided with Daniel and his past.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was saying, I've seen the devil and
I've done things.
I've done things. And if this is if it's payback time or whatever, go for it.
I came to you as a girl, a poor and stupid, and I promised myself to you because I was young and did not know your nature. So it sounds like I saw the devil's face. It is the same as yours. I wonder if that's, because she's very religious. So I'm wondering if it's, maybe when she was young, maybe she made a promise to, not a voodoo religion, but, promised to I don't know what I'm trying to say, but to an entity, save my family or something like that. Because she's definitely, Liza's saying that she's just babbling. She's not making any sense.
Mm-hmm.
She's making sense. She's just not talking to you two.
Yeah.
She's talking to somebody else, and she knows what's happening. I did what I did, and I loved what I loved. What did you want me to do?
Yeah.
The more I see her, so take my flesh piece by piece. I just love that, if that's my penance. The more I see of her here, the more I see how well her and Daniel were matched.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sad now that she's gone.
Yeah.
Now I'm sad that she's gone. Before I'm like, yeah, whatever, okay. Griselda's going to die. But she even has this smile on her face at the end.
Yeah.
And she's at peace with it.
Yeah. And no regrets kind of thing.
Yeah.
And she got out off easy, actually, if you think about it, considering what we know is going to come.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm wondering how much the government knows, because the doctor here already is saying that you have to kill them in the brain. Otherwise, they'll reanimate. Because it reminded me a lot of that CDC episode where we were watching that video of the x-ray thing of when his wife was reanimating. Because that's why she's talking about it.
Yeah.
And Liza's like, what? And she pulls out that cattle gun thing. Mm-hmm. And she puts it in Liza's hand.
Well, Liza takes it. Because she's going to do it. Liza's the one who takes it and wants to do it. I guess maybe she brought her there. Maybe she feels that she needs to finish it. I don't know. Better from a friend or somebody she knows than... I don't know. Maybe she just felt like she had to do it. Respect or something.
Maybe. Liza is definitely growing, I think, too, because she's leaps and bounds, I think, ahead of where Travis is, because she's accepting these things. She's probably doing it because she's getting it. Mm-hmm. It's sinking in, and that I have to do what I have to do. Kind of like how she was saying she wanted Chris, well, and Chris's father.
Yeah.
She's already cutting everybody else out. She's going down to bare bones here as well. And here we have the scene where Daniel's going up to the doors. Oh, this is freaky scene. From where they were, like, episode 2 to me was a low point. And, of course, the dog. But not because of the episode, but because of the dog. This episode really feels like a penultimate episode. It really feels like it is definitely setting up for a big finale. I mean, we have the introduction of... I think we've solidified where the doctor's position is. Still very gray, but, again, we know what the doctor is doing. We get this great new character in Strand. Mm-hmm. Love him. Love him, love him. He's getting ready to make a plan. He's getting ready to do something. And we end this episode pulling back from the arena with Daniel standing there and knowing what's happening and what they're going to do. And what do you think? What do you think about this coming finale? What's going to happen? What are you looking forward to?
Well, you know, you always look forward to some answers, but you don't really know if you're going to really get any. Obviously, we'll probably get a few, or else, you know, you'll have a lot of angry tweeters out there. but, you know, they're also going to leave it a cliffhanger, so you come back for season 2. So, I don't know. It would be nice to have something, I don't even want to say resolved, because you know it's not going to be resolved. But, you know, I don't know, will Travis and Chris see Liza again? I mean, will they be together as a bunch at least for a few minutes before they split again, get some answers? Or is Liza gonna go off with the medical troop and then maybe they grab Chris, maybe not?
I think everybody, and like if they follow a lot of paths that you have in these storytelling, I think we're gonna see very quickly here a splintering of everybody, and not an emotional splintering, but the group is going to go in its different directions, and you're going to see people, I think, split apart. I think Travis will end up with Liza and Chris.
Okay.
And we're going to have Madison and, I think Madison and Daniel are going to have to get back together in the same group at some point here. Mm-hmm. Because I really see that Daniel is the one that's going to shape her more into, I'd say even pragmatic, but this, you've got to do what you've got to do. I mean, the way she ran after Travis when he was going to go try and stop them from torturing
the soldier.
Sergeant Boytoy. And she's like, no, 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 you can't listen to this, listen to this. I think she needs to keep growing more that way for this story. And I think we need to have Travis. I think he's on Stainland's humanity thing, because even Cliff Curtis is saying he's supposed to be the humanity of this. So I think he's got to go somewhere where he's fighting for the humanity. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we're going to have Strand and Nick going off and doing whatever they're doing, which is fabulous.
Yes.
Fabulous. I love the look on his face when it's like, you know, when Strand is saying to Nick, you know, and I need a man with your kind of talents. And Nick just, who has just thrown up, just looks up at him like, me? What?
Yeah, maybe we'll
Nobody has ever needed my talents. Nick's going to actually have a purpose.
Maybe we'll have, like, you know, Travis will go off with Chris and Liza. and gets separated from Madison, and Madison hangs with Daniel, and she becomes... And it'll be almost like the Rick Morgan reunion.
Oh, there you go.
Where Morgan is the peaceful Zen one. That would be Travis.
Yeah.
And then Rick is the, like, this let's, you know, do it. And that'll be Madison. And then they have to try to see if there's love still there.
Well, does that mean that Nick's going to go off and be kind of like the Daryl thing? Ooh, maybe we'll have in season two, Tobias will hook up with Strand and Nick. And
I don't know. I would love Tobias to come back, but
Season two, he's not coming back this season.
But he is coming back in season two? That we know?
Nothing confirmed.
We don't know.
He's got to. Well, everybody loved Tobias.
You know, and you know what? His character was it was an open character. You know, we didn't see either way what happened to him. So he definitely could come back at
any point. He walked
off. You know, he's going to get hook up with Team Madison, I think.
Oh, you think he's going to get with Madison? I'd love to see him with Strand.
Well, either Strand or Madison.
But stay away from Travis's crew.
Yeah. He's dead meat if he's with Travis's crew. I'm just teasing. But, I mean, they had a connection at the school. That's why I kind of thought maybe Madison does run into Tobias again. You know, maybe when they're out, maybe when the fence of the fenced-in community comes down and they can go out, maybe she kind of goes looking for him, you know.
Oh, well, maybe.
She knows where his house is.
Calling back to our dead minus five that we had when we talked about the plane thing, since one of the plane survivors is now supposed to join the cast next season, but we don't know really much beyond that, maybe Strand and Nick or Tobias are the ones that
come across and find
him, and so that's how they kind of hook up, maybe, you know. Maybe. Tobias is... I think that Strand could definitely use somebody with Tobias's talents.
Yeah. Tobias knows what's going on, man.
We're gunning for
it. Of course, now that the internet's down, he might be kind of like a fish out of water.
No, I think Tobias has it. I think he's got it going. So we will be back next week. Hopefully Jennifer will be joining us for the season one finale, The Good Man, which, like I said, just reminds me of Doctor Who. Kind of, you know, good man goes to war.
Is that going to be about Travis, you think?
I think actually in a way it kind of has to be. Because Travis really needs to redeem himself from being so in denial of what's happening and what needs to be done. Mm-hmm. And he's touting himself as the good man.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, I think it almost has to be. Unless they wouldn't be introducing somebody else new. I definitely don't see it being Daniel.
The Strand?
I don't know. I don't know what he is. Because like you said, he's dressed very nice. He had nice cufflinks that he bribed the guard with, which I'm like, cufflinks? And this time?
Yeah, that's what makes me wonder, like, because he talks about the latte and the Flyer Mile people, and he kind of looks and talks like one of those people.
But I think he's like the Survivor people, like, you know, the TV show Survivor, where you'll have somebody who maybe is a millionaire, but they want to get out there and, you know, be using the machete and living, you know, getting the fish and cooking this and being the survival guy. Maybe he's got some of that in him.
I don't know.
I'm liking where it's turning.
This is going. I'm anxious to see what happens for the finale, and I'm sure I'll be like, oh, now we gotta wait.
Oh, no, you won't, because you go, now I have to wait 1 week before Daryl Dixon is back.
That's true.
Yeah, so don't even try and pass that off.
That's true.
Make sure and subscribe to us, Sci-Fi for Chicks, on iTunes or the podcast platform of your choice so that you don't miss the finale or our Women in Genre series. We will be, Doreen and I and Jennifer did the Women of the Walking Dead, which will be coming out in just a few weeks. We just released two-parter of the Women of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Women of Jurassic Park. That was a fun one to do as well. And also go over to Twitter and follow us at Sci-Fi for Chicks. We'd love to hear what you think and hear any questions and comments you may have. You can email us scififorchicks@scififorme.com or give us a call on the hotline 573-427-2434. That's 573-42-SCI-FI. And of course, go over to scififorme.com to check out all the latest recaps of other fall shows that are coming up. This isn't really a fall show. It started in the summer, technically. It's almost over. I hope you enjoyed the supermoon eclipse. We're going to have to go out and check and see if it's over and we can see the supermoon. So at least we see some kind of difference. Something.
We can do that.
And we'll be back next week, like we said, for the season one finale of Fear the Walking Dead, The Good Man. Until next week, thanks a lot.
Bye.
This has been a presentation of SciFiForMe.com. Copyright 2015 by Flaming Dog Media, LLC. All rights reserved. No portion of this program may be retransmitted without the express written consent of Flaming Dog Media. This is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.